This Israel report is brought to you by the Blue Agency. Your Israel property is in good hands. Owning properties in Israel can be a great investment, but challenging to manage if you are based abroad. The Blue Agency will manage every aspect of your property, finding and vetting tenants, maintaining your property and getting it rental ready, negotiating contracts and collecting rentals, reporting back to you regularly. The Blue Agency has built a reputation for trust and confidentiality over 20 years. The Blue Agency, your Israel property is in good hands. Contact us at www.theblueagency.com.
The Israel Report for the latest news and insights with Anthony Reich.
Anthony Reich, Boker Tov, good morning. How are you?
Boker Tov. Sure. I feel like I've just climbed onto my roller coaster car. I've just been buckled in and I'm being shot off from the launch station into the unknown. But I know that it's going to be one heck of a ride. That's the way I think we're all feeling right now, against the backdrop of the news yesterday that finally a hostage release agreement has been reached. And we're off on the roller coaster ride now to see what happens next.
Yeah, we really are, because it and that's the sense I'm getting from listeners. That's where I'm at today. Very, very difficult. I shared the president's speech or his statement that he made yesterday, and I think he actually captures it very well. These conflicts, because he's acknowledging the failure of October 7th, saying that you just basically have to trust us, and we're aware that it's not easy to do.
I think, to be fair, that the president has been a very balanced voice throughout this period, even prior to this war, during the judicial reform protests and whatever. He tried to really, first of all, he tried major efforts to mediate, to try to come to bring the two parties to some sort of an agreement. But I think that he's represented, even though his political career, he was always on the left wing of Israeli politics. But I think that in his position as president, he's really managed to somehow bridge the gaps and to represent what I think is a very sensible position. And it was quite noticeable that one of the TV channels, which is associated with the far right wing, actually refused to broadcast his address to the nation yesterday, which I thought was bad form, very, very poor decision. And really kind of showed their true colors. So I thought that was a bad decision, because it doesn't matter what your politics is. He is the president of Israel, and you might not have to agree with everything that he says, but I think that a certain minimum respect is valid, is really demanded for the president. So let's try to unravel what we know about this hostage release agreement. First of all, one of the things that has also been noticeable was that the Hamas official, who is now considered to be the person who is really calling the shots, he stood up. He is Khalil Al-Haya, someone who I've not really come across before, but he made some sort of a televised address yesterday. First of all, talking about October the 7th, at what a great success it was, and what a fantastic day, and what a major victory October the 7th was. Now, given that his address is clearly to his own electorate, to his own people, I suppose one could say it's unsurprising that that's where he might start, because really all of this really started on October the 7th. There's no doubt about that. However, it doesn't give us a strong sense of security about where this is all going, and it potentially does strengthen the far right-wing view, which says, don't dare release a hostage, don't dare accept a hostage back, don't dare stop the fighting, because this is a bad deal, and what we really need to do is go in and capture Gaza and not stop fighting. Obviously one of the main pillars of this hostage release agreement is a cessation of hostilities in the first instance, at least for a limited period of time. But the big prize for Hamas is to stop the war, not to simply enter into a temporary ceasefire. And so the speech that Al-Hayya made yesterday was hardly encouraging from our point of view in terms of where we're going on this hostage release agreement. But what we do know, or what we've been told at least, and what we trust and we think will happen, is that on Sunday at around noon, there will be the first release of hostages. And all in all, over a 42-day period, which means over a six-week period, we will receive back 33 hostages out of the 98 who are still unaccounted for in Gaza. And those 33, we are told, will be women, children, elderly, female soldiers, but not men, and men of a certain age, above a certain age, or needing urgent medical care, and not younger men, let's say. So that the first group are supposed to be people in the what we would call the more sensitive categories, more vulnerable people, including, we understand, the Bibas family. One of the rumors that has been swirling around social media is that out of those 33 hostages, we believe that 20 or less of them are actually alive. Now, that hasn't been confirmed by anybody. And so if you've heard that, you should know that it's speculation and that we don't really know for sure how many of them will be alive on the at the moment that they are released. But I feel quite sure that not all of them will be alive. Out of the 33 that we're expecting over the 42-day period, I'm sure that there will be some of them who are not alive. On Sunday, we are hoping to see a group of up to six hostages released. We understand that within the first 33 hostages will also be two Israeli-American citizens. And of course, the U.S. Administration has been at pains to emphasize this fact because many within the U.S. are holding the American administration responsible for not taking care of American citizens when they are in danger and when they need the help of the American government. There has been huge accusations leveled at the Biden administration saying that even Americans are in Gaza, and what are you doing about it? Very little or nothing. And of course, the story of Hirsch Goldberg Pollin has also come to light because, of course, he also was an American citizen and was killed in Gaza. And the Biden administration is being accused of not having taken care of him. We know that he was alive until shortly before his body was discovered. And so that is considered to be a major failure on the part of the American administration. So as I've said, the first 6 weeks will see the release of 33 hostages and will involve a partial withdrawal of IDF troops from Gaza, not a full withdrawal. It will also involve a cessation of hostilities, a temporary ceasefire, if that's what you want to call it, of hostilities during that time. We don't have any clear indication of what happens after that. I mean, they are saying that, and I forgot about phase one. I'm sorry, I failed to mention that there will be terrorists released from Israeli prisons, 30 terrorists for every male hostage who is released. And we understand 50 terrorists released from prison for every female hostage who is released. That will also happen alongside the release of hostages during phase one. Some of these terrorists will even have life sentences that they are serving in Israeli prisons. But we have excluded specifically those people who have been arrested as being responsible for carrying out the attacks on October the 7th. Those people will not be released from Israeli prisons during phase one. And then during phase two, we understand that there will be talks on more hostage releases and potentially further IDF withdrawals from Gaza. There will also be some sort of an attempt to begin a rebuilding process, even starting from day one, from phase one, an attempt to try to rebuild elements of Gaza. And then ultimately phase three, which is very much less defined even than phase two, which is almost undefined. Phase three will involve all hostages being released, and the IDF fully withdrawing from Gaza only after their freedom. Now, I think, to be fair, that sounds reasonable to me. In other words, that we are saying that the IDF will maintain some presence in Gaza until all hostages are released. I think that's a strong statement, and I know that that on the Hamas side they value the end of the war rather than just a temporary ceasefire. So we are withholding this end of the war statement until all hostages are released, and I think that that's a very important thing to bear in mind. A lot of people have been complaining that the Prime Minister hasn't stood up in front of the nation and explained certain aspects of the agreement, why certain weaknesses seem to be built into the agreement, why is it that we've agreed to certain things, why are we releasing people with blood on their hands, why are we releasing terrorists with life sentences, why is it 30 for one and 50 for one. He hasn't explained anything, and I suspect that the Prime Minister is somewhat avoiding
in the public eye. And I'm sure he's right to, though, because there has to
I think so too.
I think there has to be so much that we don't know in terms of planning, strategy, thought, and he probably doesn't want to risk showing his hand, surely.
I agree. I mean, I just wonder to what extent they've agreed to certain things that they might not ultimately carry out if things don't quite go quite according to plan. So it almost looks duplicitous now to enter into an agreement and then ultimately not carry it out, and to actually stand up in front of the nation and say, well, we've said something, but we're not quite sure if that's really what we're going to be doing. I don't think he wants to be saying that, although I'm sure that there are certain aspects of this agreement that he has in his mind that he might not fulfill if things don't quite go according to the way that he wants them. So I think that there's a lot of nuance. What's interesting for me is that even though the agreement has been reached and signed, apparently, that our negotiating teams have remained in Qatar in order to continue discussions. So I think that there's a certain positive aspect to that where things will continue to be spoken about. And they're still in Doha and still trying to bash out, I suppose, certain aspects of the first phase, but indeed potentially even beginning to talk about what happens next. So, you know, that's sort of where we are right now, a very, very, very difficult time for all of us. We understand that on Sunday, we are due to see the release of five female soldiers. That's at least what we will see already on Sunday. And as I said, two American citizens are expected to be in the first phase of the deal. And I'm very happy to, you know, take further questions. And of course, I encourage listeners to join in this, because this is one of the toughest decisions that I can remember the Israeli government having to make about a certain situation, which is really a long-term issue. In other words, short-term, we will see the return of our hostages, and short-term, we might withdraw our troops from Gaza. But this has major long-term implications. This is a certain fateful decision that's involved. And I remember when Gilad Shalit was released for more than 1,000 terrorists, that was one for 1,000, and how difficult that decision was. And Gilad Shalit had been in captivity for about 5 years. Let's not forget what happened then and what's happened since then, which has been quite fascinating. So this is very fateful, and we are very much split as to whether this is a good or a bad thing. We are split as to whether even those people who think it is a good thing, whether it's being carried out in the right way. We are concerned about what happens to Gaza afterwards, because we have been threatened another October the 7th will happen. How do we respond to all of these situations?
And how do they declare victory while still claiming genocide? It gets very confusing.
Yeah, the hyperbole that's being used, the language that's being used to accuse Israel, is something which I find very, very difficult. It's so obviously inaccurate to me. But the problem is that if you say it enough to people outside of Israel, people begin to believe it.
Yes.
And that's the reality of where we find ourselves. If you say this genocide word enough times, if you say apartheid enough times, if you say occupation, if you say colonization enough times, people will eventually begin to think that that's the situation. But I can assure you that it is far from the situation.
Anthony, what can still go wrong between now and Sunday?
Almost everything. Mm. I mean, we could reach Sunday and find that they are not releasing any prisoners. I mean, that could easily happen. Or not that they're not releasing, but maybe what we had expected. I mean, the expectation is that the females and the children and the elderly and those who are frail, and they are the ones who will be released. But what happens if that's not the case? What happens if we suddenly find that they're releasing, I don't know, male soldiers, male young people who are slightly stronger? What do we say then? Do we say, oh, we don't want these people because the idea was that the weaker members of the hostage group are due to be released? I don't know really what to expect at all. And there are so many things that could go wrong. Of course, what's also been quite interesting is the Red Cross have now suddenly jumped up and said, we are willing to help with the hostage release. And we are willing to help with this process. Yes, of course they are, because of course all the cameras will be trained on them and they will get certain credit for it. But we will never forget, never forget, that the Red Cross made almost no attempt to reach our hostages during 468. By the time we get to Sunday, it'll be another 3 days, 471 days of captivity. The Red Cross never reached our hostages, and the medication, the package of medication that was sent via the officers of the Red Cross was found lying in the hospital in Gaza when our troops went in there with the hostage names on them. They were just strewn in the hospital that were as they were found in Gaza. We will never forget the role of the Red Cross in all of this. And there are many other things that we won't forget. So for now, we're trying to somehow not think of what may go wrong. We're hoping that some of our hostages will come home, and we somewhat dread to see their state, what state they're in, how they will come home. But we're praying, especially for their families, but not only for their families, for all of us, because this is an important event for all of us in Israel, and I think for all Jews around the world. This is a significant moment, and that hopefully will be sometime during the middle of the day on Sunday.
Anthony Reich, when we next speak to you on Monday, please God, we'll have some very good things to speak about. Wishing you a fantastic weekend, a Shabbat Shalom, and we'll speak to you then.
That Israel Report was brought to you by the Blue Agency. Your Israel property is in good hands. Owning properties in Israel can be a great investment, but challenging to manage if you are based abroad. The Blue Agency will manage every aspect of your property, finding and vetting tenants, maintaining your property and getting it rental ready, negotiating contracts and collecting rentals, reporting back to you regularly. The Blue Agency has built a reputation for trust and confidentiality over 20 years. The Blue Agency, your Israel property is in good hands. Contact us at www.theblueagency.com.